What does a tux, a moo, and a nerd all have in common? Well, if you guessed it, they all prefer install Linux over Windows. You should stick around to be on the next Live Free and Ham. All right. Well, hello and welcome to Live Free and Ham podcast. This is our bi-weekly show during which we discuss ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. So whether you're a regular listener or first-time guest, we are excited to have you here and appreciate your support. And thanks for tuning into our episode tonight. So let's get into the show. I'm your host, Eric, N1JUR, finally back to normal. And I'm with my co-hosts.
Hey, it's Paul, N1OG.
And I'm still a general, Todd, W1STJ.
All right, roger, roger. And we got some special guests on tonight from the awesome podcast show, Linux in the Ham Shack. Go ahead and introduce yourself. We'll start with you, Cheryl, since you're the better of the three.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
All right.
Well, Russ, short and sweet. That's the way I get it. I'm Russ, K5TUX. I'm coming through yours again, so that's okay. We'll do it. No.
Shut the door.
No. Yeah.
All good.
Hang on.
And I'm right, Bill. Well, I'll go ahead and go. I'm Bill Henning-4RD, coming live from a hotel in Missoula, Montana.
All right. Well, that's awesome. Okay. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us. And so we're going to get into that in a little bit. But as we always do every show, we're going to get into a few of our usual things. Obviously, our storefront on livefreeandham.com/shop is over there, and you can check out all the merch. And I want to say, and we all want to say, thank you. What the heck is my video doing today? I don't know. What is... My God.
Close up.
Technical difficulties here. Well, apparently, I want to be zoomed in too far. It's like...
I thought Paul was doing that.
I do. Oh, my gosh. Well, hey, why not? I want to thank everybody who's purchased from our storefront in the past. Appreciate you guys supporting the show. But we have got some awesome news, although... I don't know if it's sort of... It's kind of a blessing in disguise, you know, kind of thing. But... We are launched for a short, limited time. Our When Is Paul Gonna Jump? Sunday shirts. And so we've got a sweatshirt out. We've got a t-shirt out. It's going to be running for limited time. So this is to show our love and support for Paul because he hasn't physically skydived yet. He keeps getting bumped. Damn weather, the plane, you know, the list goes on and on. But so the best thing we could do to cheer Paul up was to come up with a t-shirt in his honor. So, you know, We've got one in the store. You can head over there now. Check that out. Buy one. Buy the sweatshirt. Show some love to Paul. Show and support him. And eventually, you know, we will live stream it. I promise. We will be live streaming his jump. When that is, hopefully it will be this year. I don't know, Paul. You got any better news?
Hopefully it's going to be someday soon. This last week, it's been a day by day kind of pushing it out. But the weather and everything is looking good for either Tuesday or Wednesday, and fingers crossed, they've got a pilot. That's
that's an important ingredient. All right. Well, we will hope so. Stay tuned to all of our channels if you want to catch that live stream, because once we get the thumbs up and the go ahead, we will be live streaming Paul's jump. So go and support him there, and, you know, support him with buying the shirt too, you know, because in essence that'll only be around for a short time until he actually jumps. After that, it's all gone.
All right. Then we'll have a shirt. Paul jumped.
I know, right? You have a follow-up t-shirt. You'll have to buy one after. All right. Well, thank you again to everybody who supports our show. And, you know, as all of our hosts here, we love feedback, whether it's good, bad, and Paul loves all the ugly stuff. So, you know, we obviously want to give you guys an opportunity to say hello, to let us know how we're doing. Tell us that we need to, you know, improve the toilet paper in the men's room. I don't know. You just, you know, send us a nice review, say hello. And if you're the texting type, you now can use the SMS link that's in our description notes below. That will let you leave a quick review. And when we get them, we'll make sure Todd reads them on our next episodes. And as always, our last thing here, housekeeping wise, is that we always have a live stream once a month coming up. So make sure that you stay tuned to our YouTube and home website at livefreeandham.com for those links. And if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe to that as well. And make sure you hit the notification bell so you get alerted to when we go live stream. And now, so we obviously gonna dive into
doing good.
Good.
Doing good.
You do. That's good.
Do good. Do good.
You're doing good.
Good.
Absolutely, I do. Good. Good.
Doing good, Bob. Doing real good.
And right now, my only outlet is my ham radio.
All right. Well, we've been running for a while. This new segment in our episode calling Do Good or Do Good. And, you know, we're trying to just promote the hobby, trying to show you the good side of the hobby, because in essence, there's a lot of bad lids out there. There's a lot of, you know, people that complain and moan and groan how ham radio is dying. Well, we want to do something good. We want to promote and show people that, yeah, ham radio is alive and well and doing some awesome stuff. But once again, we have a check of the inbox, fellas. And what have we turned up? Buckets. Exactly. Nil. Zero. What? What goes on, my friends? Everybody, nobody has a do-good story. Once again, we have to throw down the response again of like, hey, let us know what's going on. Share with us. Get out there. Get the message out. Promote your club. Promote the groups you're hanging out. If you're doing a photo event, we want to tell everybody about it. Support the hobby. Get out there. Do some awesome stuff. And then let us know about it, and we'll share it with everybody. And like we've always said every episode, and we're going to continue to say it till the cows come home, and even after that, if you send your story via Winlink to Paul, not me, don't send it to me because my Winlink's still broken, send it to Paul, and we will personally invite you on our next live stream to come share that story with us, and we'll make sure we do good on that side. So send your messages that way, send those emails, and if you don't want to be, you know, as proactive sending Winlink emails, just text it to us, mail, whatever, carrier pigeon. It doesn't matter. If you can do it in Morse code, we'll find someone to translate it for us because none of us speak Morse code. Well, at least none of the podcasters here speak Morse code. But so anyway, with that.
This actually goes out on like a current time. I mean, there is something good coming up next weekend.
Well, then hopefully, maybe next week we'll get our wish come true. You know, we just want to hear some good stuff, and I know there's stuff out there. But either way, all right. Well, so with that, we have to just segue sadly into our next segment here, and we're just going to keep plowing through this pretty quickly here.
And now for something a little extra with Todd W1STJ.
You have heard it here. This is where we help our friend, our fellow compadre, Todd, study for his extra class license. In each episode, we pick three questions from that extra class question pool to test his knowledge, hoping he gets his upgrade. And he's doing well. So far, he's been 85 or better so far. So if you'd like to follow along, you can always head over to hamstudy.org, which is a great resource to help prepare for your test. And it's recommended by 3 out of 4 volunteer examiners because the ARL was unavailable for comment. And we'll leave it at that. And so without further delay, let's bring on our VE Quizmaster. Take it away, Paul.
All right. Yeah, let's rearrange the cameras here so that we can actually see Todd for those that are with us on the video. All right, Todd. I hope you're ready. We're sticking with sub-element 4. And so question number 1 is, what is the noise figure of a receiver? Is it A, the ratio in dB of the noise generated in the receiver to the atmospheric noise? B, the ratio of atmospheric noise to phase noise? C, the ratio in dB of the noise generated by the receiver to the theoretical minimum noise? Or is it D, the ratio of the noise bandwidth in hertz to the theoretical bandwidth of a resistive network?
Am I still guessing, Todd?
Yeah, I'm going to go with C. I'm not sure, though. I think it's C.
Oh, my gosh. I have not paid attention, so I'm going to randomly guess it based off of the less amount of technical words in the discussion. So let's see here. I'm going to go with D.
All right. Well, Todd guessed C, which is correct.
Wow. I'm gonna pull my extra then. All right.
So So just to give the hint, since we're talking about ratios, the correct answer is the only one with DB mentioned in it. And there is a Wikipedia link. And it also says the question and only the correct answer have the word receiver in them. So keep that in mind if you struggle on that question.
I'm an extra. Don't have to worry about it.
All right, Todd. Question number two. Which S parameter represents input port return loss or reflection coefficient equivalent to variable standing wave ratio? Is it A, S11, B, S22, C, S12, or D, S21?
Well, it's either A or D. I'm going to go with D.
Ooh.
Eric?
Well, I'm going to go with A.
Todd is incorrect with D. And Eric is correct.
Great job!
I knew it was one of those two. What the heck is this?
Right. So the explanation, the two-port S scattering voltage parameters for a linear electrical network are defined as S11, input reflection coefficient, S12, reverse gain, S21, forward gain, S22, output reflection coefficient. And so SWR and signal return loss are both calculated by using the input reflection coefficient. Therefore, S11 represents return loss. SWR can be directly calculated from S11 by a simple formula.
All right. Well, that was about as useless as a bag of rocks for me, so I'm good.
All right, Todd, for the third and final question of the night, what is the purpose of a single point ground panel? Is it A, to ensure all lightning protectors activate at the same time? B, remove AC power in case of a short circuit? C, prevent common mode transients in multi-wire systems? Or is it D, eliminate air gaps between protected and non-protected circuits?
I hate that song. A.
He's throwing it.
You're guessing wrong on purpose just because you don't want to hear the song?
No, I think it's A.
Oh, all right. Let's see here. I'm going to go with C.
All right. Well, Todd said A, which is correct. Ensure all lightning protectors activate at the same time.
That's why I said I hate the song.
And we just all for the sing record. In
Again, Eric got one. I think we're going to retest him for the extra.
Go ahead. Try to take it away. Try to take it away. They took away my call sign. I got it back. So, you know, they're not going to take my extra away.
No, I'm about 50% on my study, and that's where I am on that one. So I'm making progress.
Good news, man. Yeah. Well,
keep plugging away.
Once I get to 80, then we'll move to the next one.
Very cool. Thank God there's what, only 7 or 5? Huh?
No, there's 5 10.
This is 4. There's like, what is there, 12? 10?
Well,
no,
there's 10.
10. Yeah. We're gonna be I'm almost halfway done.
The marathon, not a sprint. That's right. All right. Well, with that, so if you're on the journey to studying for your Technician General Extra Class license, in that case, hamstudy.org is an excellent resource for getting your ticket. So, and if you received your license or an upgrade in any time, any capacity, anywhere, let us know. We want to recognize you on the next episode for your hard work and effort. And you can always email us at livefreeandham@gmail.com. And we'll surely make sure to mention you on the next show. All right. Whew. All right. Breather time. Everybody take a sip. Okay. So now up to our usual format, and we can kind of get back into the discussion here. You know, as we always ask every week, you know, how is your Hammerdy week going? And we'll start with our honored guests first. Cheryl, would you like to do the honors? How's your Hammerdy week going? Doesn't even have to be Hammerdy related.
Yeah, as you were saying, my Hammerdy week has been very quiet because we just returned home from New Hampshire. So this week has been getting the house back in order. So that's how my week has been. So
very cool. Did you do any hands with you guys or?
No, we left the dogs at home.
That explains why you have to get the house back in order.
Yeah, exactly. Neighbors were checking on them every day, but there was a 10-day trip out. So there was tons of laundry and trash and things like that to get out. So, but yeah, and we did not do anything ham radio related while we were gone. So,
wow. Well, that's totally fine. It's acceptable here because, you know, we also are ham radio operators too, as well. And we, that's not all we just do. So all good on
right,
that.
Right. Exactly.
Very cool. All right. Well, with that, Russ, how was your ham radio week going?
Well, as I mentioned just before the show started and you started recording, that I had turned my radio on for the first time in 2 weeks and just noticed that the connection to my Shaq PC over here went offline. So I've been shilling for Yaesu for a little while, but I turned that off so they don't get any free press from the rest of us. But
no problem there.
Well, we like to be fair about that stuff and we don't take endorsements or anything like that. So we don't want, you know, we don't want, like, you know, Yaesu emblazoned above my head over here. So.
It's okay. It's totally okay. We've got, you know, to my left, we've got Team ICOM, and to our right, we've got Flex and, you know, Team Yaesu. So, you know, we've got all the bases covered, and, you know, we're equal opportunity abusers, so feel free.
Okay, so when I need to ask for somebody's donation from somebody, I ask Paul, right, because he's the Flex guy. He's got the money, so.
Oh, sadly, nope, he is the only non-Flex guy. That would be Todd and me.
Oh, okay. Well, so, all right.
And I don't have any money anymore because I got the Flex.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah. Todd's the guy to ask for the money. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, no, you got to ask Eric because I lost all my money buying the Flex.
I need to get back into it though. I had a long streak of work in POTA. Both CW phone and digital for a while there, and then life happened and kind of got out of it. But I really would like to get back into it. POTA's like it's like invigorating because other than sitting around watching your computer do FT8, you can actually enjoy and interact with people and sort of have a purpose. So I like its motivational aspect. So I need to get back to that. But
you're in warm welcome company here for sure. We all are POTA nuts here and profusely preach about it all the time. So we'll love to hear some of your stories there for sure and talk and support you in your bad addiction or good addiction, however you look at it.
Well, I hope it's a good addiction. And you know, we have lots of people who listen to the show who love POTA and. We sort of like self-reinforce and get people out there and work some contests and over-the-air stations and stuff like that. So try and keep everyone motivated.
Awesome. Love to hear it. Cool. All right. Well, with Bill, how is your ham radio week?
Well, I mean, personally, it's not very active. You know, I have the radio on quite often in the shack and listening, but I have not clicked the transmit button very much this past couple of weeks. We've been focusing mainly on answering emails and questions about the upcoming Jamboree on the Air event for the K2BSA. So nice. Okay. I've been quite busy with that. We got a bunch of stations lined up borrowing the call sign for portable areas and stuff like that, so I have to send out certificates and finish all that up, and then we have the random, you know, how does this work and how do I do this, where can I find an operator guide and all this stuff. It's like it's all on the website, go find it.
now for all of our listeners, you guys don't know,
I should have warned you guys ahead of time that there was a 0% chance you were getting through this episode without hearing about the BSA. Should have said something.
Eagle Scout here, so I can tolerate. I'm all good. So no problem there. Yeah. So all right. So just so our listeners who may not know, when is the, is it JODA and what's the other acronym?
JODI. JODA, JODI. Okay. So Jamboree on the Air. Jamboree. It's coming up this weekend, October 18th through the 20th.
So right during Support Your Parks weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Big time. The air is going to be on fire.
Yes.
It'll be CQ worldwide under 25 years and old, younger.
Absolutely. And they'll all be in the upper portion of the general bands of HF. So be on the lookout.
may I suggest 14,300 is a great spot for Joda.
Yeah, they generally start around 14,290 and then they move around from there. But normally it's like 50 of them on 14,290 because they think it's the international Joda frequency.
Perfect place for it. I recommend that.
Just move them up to 300 and get all the radio guys upset.
Right on 300, right?
Just give them a couple tube radios and they will be on 300. You know, no problem. The drift on those things will be perfect.
So the bands will be very active this weekend. Obviously there's a contest coming up too for Werchtal European DX or something like that, WAE or something. Mm-hmm. Or Werchtal Germany, right?
Oh yeah, well, Finland was this past weekend, right, or something like that. I remember
It's contest every time, but yeah, the third weekend of October is always I think it's Werchtal Germany, and then they have specific rules, so they're not supposed to be up in the general portions of the bands, so they try to stay down low. So it'll be just basically all the podas and sodas and modas and jodas and bodas and
so like bodas. We're talking like extra portions of the band per se, right?
Yeah, they'll be in the lower side. Yeah, the lower side of the band.
So, you know. Todd, if you want to come over and operate with my call, you're more than welcome to during that weekend.
Yeah, very funny. You see the harassment I get from these guys?
Yes, absolutely.
He could just be W1 LFH, and one of the two of us can supervise.
Oh, yeah, we are. Yeah. Right. Yeah, so he can use that.
True. Control off, right?
Yeah, sure. He's using my remote station somewhere else. No problem. All right. Well, cool. Good to hear on that. Yeah, looking forward to, wow, man, next weekend is going to be very busy. I have to say, I'm looking forward to a lot of radio then.
And then the weekend after that's the CUSO, the world.
The New Hampshire CUSO party and CQ Worldwide, right?
The New Hampshire one too, at the same time?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I remember hearing somewhere it was. Or was is it New England? No, it's either New England or New Hampshire. I'll have to look at the contest calendar. I heard it was, but I could be wrong. I'm not a contester. I wouldn't know. Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to be working in the yard, cleaning stuff up, cutting the grass with my Flex and my phone, making contacts.
Well, I want to see what your lawn looks like after that, you know, see whether you're focused. All right. Well, good with that. Cool. So, all right, Todd, what does your ham radio week look like?
Well, not much. I've been talking to some guys on the commute in and out of work, which has been good on the repeater. And I did the net tonight, and that's about it. I'm not going to be able to do Support Your Parks weekend with the club because we had rain today and it was like 40 degrees and they canceled the game. So we have a double header and it's the last weekend, so I can't really miss that. So I miss every Support Your Parks weekend with the club. Every time we have something, I have most of the time it's just a stupid baseball game. So the plan was we had an early one and I was going to come at the end of it. But now we have an 11 o'clock game and a 3:30 game, so it's just not going to work out.
Yeah, but we'll be creating a T-shirt.
Yeah, I hope to get out Sunday. It looks like the weather's going to be good both days. I hope to get out Sunday and activate a park just to, it's a good POTA park. It's a good POTA day. Maybe I'll get my Alaska or Hawaii if people are out there. So if you're listening from Alaska or Hawaii, Sunday, try 10 meters. I might be able to hit you. Cut the 20 crap. CJ,
look for him in the general.
20 doesn't work. Yeah, in the general band. That's where I hang, in the 20, in the general band. It's where all the cool kids hang out.
That's what I hear. Us old guys will be on 80 meters, sorry.
Yeah.
Cool, all right, well, with that, anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, all right, well, over to you, Mr. N1OG. How has your ham radio week been?
I would say, I guess the majority of the week was relatively light on ham radio stuff. We just got pummeled with solar radiation this week. So, most of the days, the bands just weren't even there. I got on the 2 meter net last night and tonight, which, it's a rarity for me. It's 7 o'clock is usually a busy time of the evening. So I don't typically get to make the net. So it was nice to get in on the net there. And,
it was good to hear you.
Thanks. I spent a couple of days this week, getting the new Panasonic Toughbook that I got at Nearfest.
Oh yeah,
up and running. Right. Yep. So it's what? Go ahead.
I was gonna say, how is that going?
Oh yeah, so it's great. The battery is fantastic. I did 7 cycles where I would charge it up fully, and then like screen brightness at 100%, and just play a video full screen until it dies. I did that, you know, about 5 or 6 times, and just reconditioning the battery. And now I'm getting about, you know, 4 hours of heavy use.
That's not bad.
Which would be, yeah. That, I mean, I for being able to go out and do digital or whatever, you know, this is a game changer for me. It's not that I want to do digital a lot in the field. I like having the option. But yeah, and the other thing I did was one of my buddies in Flag and Torch had sent me these 3D printed cases of a distribution block. And I had just enough power poles to do 1 case. So now I've got a nice new 3D printed distribution block that I threw in my bag. And I think we should be good to go for Support Your Parks weekend this coming weekend. I'm excited to get a lot of the scouts in the log too. I always liked Jamboree on the air. I didn't get past Weeblos. But, you know, I have a fond affinity for scouting and everything that it stands for. So I applaud your work there, Bill.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, it sounds like so at least some HF was had. And, you know, it sounds like you got a nice little project you're working there on that tough book there. And I want to do some actual physical testing with that thing, too.
You know, being just a Weeblo and being the most prepared guy I know, and since that's the motto of the Boy Scouts, I might petition the Boy Scouts to give you an honorary Eagle Scout Award.
If only there was such a thing.
Hey, I made it to life. Eric, you were an Eagle, right?
Yeah. Yep. I had a great dad who was like, hey, you got to get your Eagle before you turn 18. There's no choice. So I got my Eagle.
Well, you know, I did it when I was, I lived in England for a couple of years, and it was an awesome group. We did trips, we did like the summer camp we did in Germany. We did all these activities on the weekends. We went on canal boats, and it was just really awesome. And then I came home, and it was just a bunch of kids smoking butts, and it was just terrible. And I couldn't find a troop that was good, like, you know, that I wanted to be at. And I stuck with it for a couple of years, and then just got to the point where it just wasn't fun anymore. So that was my story. But my grandfather, or my great grandfather, he was really big in Missouri. He was Pappy, and he did a lot of stuff with the Boy Scouts. And he's got a whole, they do this Eagle Cloth thing, and my cousin was really into it. I don't know if you guys have ever, how much you know about it, but yeah, I never got to that far, but I think if I was out there, I probably would have stuck with it. I just had a really bad troop, so it was unfortunate.
Well, yeah, before we get too sidetracked, because that is unfortunate, but Eric, what was your radio week like?
Oh yeah, well, we always forget Eric.
it's the way it goes, man. I'm just a host. yeah, so like you guys had noted, we had a couple of things go on. Obviously, I alluded to another episode that you'll probably hear a little later. You know, we had some call sign issues. I was W1 LFH for a little while and lost N1 JUR, but that's all been sorted, so I'm back to normal, feeling complete. After worrying that I would never be able to get my call back, but thank God the FCC's got some smart rules in place that I can't lose it at least for 90 days. So that's all good. And yeah, mostly just been kind of playing on 10 meters. Oh, actually, we had a very cool, fun thing. We our club we once have a once a month where the Aries group takes over the repeater to do their training and stuff like that. So the repeater's kind of offline, and our nightly nets that the guys have been talking about and sharing, they ceased to exist on that day. So, we decided, hey, we're going to do a 6-meter net. And so we actually had like 22. I think it was our location, our vantage point. We have a club member who literally lives in Bible Hill in New Hampshire. And that's like his house sits on 1300 ASL, feet elevation. So he could literally put a random wire on the ground and, you know, hit Uruguay with, 4 watts, without even trying. So, we ran a 6-meter net from there, had like 24 check-ins. So it was amazing. It was really, really bad weather, but you know, it was still good to see 6 meters alive and people wanting to get out there, which is kind of stirred up a bunch of people, and they all want to start doing their own 6 meter net. So pretty excited to hear that, you know, that's happening and people are starting to do stuff like that. So we'll start getting 6 meters, you know, more activity and more people start playing around the radio. So outside of that, go ahead.
No, you know what was crazy about that net is on the repeater, like the Epson repeater, they were talking about it all day and who's going on it. So I knew it was going to be kind of big because a lot of guys were talking about it, trying to check in, and they were pretty excited about it. So word got out, and it was the second one we've done, right? Like you guys did one a couple months ago.
Back in August, yeah.
Yeah. So, we also do a 10 meter net once a month.
Yeah, that's always a blast too. We got a pretty good amount of check ins with that one, and that's always fun. So it's sitting in the technician band. So if you're a technician, feel free to join in and tune in. But yeah, so that's my ham radio week. But, you know, let's kind of dive into the show. You know, they obviously have been really quiet. I'm sure this is very unnatural to these guys because I know they do a lot of talking and, you know, sharing of awesome information. And they talk about all similar, same stuff that we talk about, but just on a little different bend there towards, you know, say the Linux world and how, you know, how you can get more involved in, you know, ham radio and Linux together. And so I've been a newbie listener. I've only been listening since episode 499, but you know, it's been a great run so far. I love hearing these guys, but let me introduce them. So we've got Russ and Bill and Cheryl, and they're all the hosts of Linux and the Ham Shack. So if you haven't checked out their podcast, you can check the link in our description in this episode, and it'll be in theirs, obviously, because they'll be on their show as well. But they talk everything ham radio and everything ham and Linux, and you know, they're the diehards. I mean, my background is sort of sysadmin, you know, so I've had a lot of Linux in my life, but I've always kind of just been Mac or Windows and agnostic in that sense. So I've always wanted to try to take the leap, but then, you know, just kind of shy away and go, I'll go back to Windows. So these guys are the hardcore, you know, diehards when it comes to that stuff, and they do some awesome stuff on their show. So, you know, talk to me, guys. So
don't forget though, they also talk about scotches and good beers.
And recipes.
So well rounded.
Yes. So you will be fed. You will, you know, you'll definitely be topped off in all of the best, you know, spirits out there. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, desserts are on the top of that list too, as well. So if you're a dessert person, you're guaranteed to, you know, never leave hungry, as they say. So, all right. Well, with that, so, you know, Russ, since you're kind of the head leader of this a little bit, we'll say, you know, tell us a little bit about the show, what's going on, you know, what I've got some deep, dark questions that I want to find out more about, you know, how you guys got this going for sure. And Cheryl, I know, you know, how did you get dragged into this, or how did you want to get dragged into this? Is this one way to stay connected? You know, there's always an interesting story there. So I'll leave it to you, Russ. You start us off, and I'm sure we'll pop questions along the way.
Oh, fantastic. I'm always the one to field this question. We've been doing the show for a very long time now, since October. What happened to my, suddenly I'm bright.
You got bright.
Yeah. I did nothing.
The spotlight's on you now. So
yeah, apparently my camera decided that I was too dark and hidden and whatnot. I kind of like the sort of Phantom of the Opera thing I had going there, but so yeah, we just celebrated our 16th anniversary in October of this year, which is this month. Very cool, very cool. Well, we used to have sound effects once upon a time. Anyway, so I always in the 16 years of being asked this question, like, you know, tell us about the show, I have not come up with an answer. So okay. But what I do always start with is that I didn't start the show. I was on it from episode one, and I have been on every episode except I think one. I think there was one episode I didn't show up on for some reason. But I always have to give props to Richard, KB5JBB. He's the one who had the idea, and he was looking for a co-host, and I was like, me, you know, pick me. And apparently since I was running unopposed, I got the job.
so, that's how it works.
yeah, pretty much. So he had the idea of Linux in the Ham Shack. He based his podcast on an earlier podcast by Chess Griffin called, I can't remember what it was called. It's been 16 years.
16 years ago, right?
it was a podcast about, oh, look, my camera's freaking out again. Anything we can do to derail this podcast, we will do it.
We're totally on the way. So we're all good.
All right. Yeah, so he modeled it after another one. He wanted to talk about Linux and using it for ham radio and things like that. And that's pretty much what the beginning of the show was. It was him and me. The style back then was very, very different. If anybody wants to go back and listen to the first 100 episodes that have Richard in them, you will find that show has very little to do with the show of today.
Bill's laughing about that. Do tell, Bill, why. What story do you have hidden behind the curtains?
It was a completely different show. It's amazing. The striking differences. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Richard has a very different way of podcasting. He's diehard Texan. Things were very different. There was a lot of blues and country music back in the day, and the only thing that hasn't really changed is the content. I mean, we always talked about Linux, we talked about technology, computers, amateur radio. Everything about that is consistent all the way through, and it's just, you know, presentation of course has changed, but presentation doesn't really matter. And if somebody wants to go back and listen to the full catalog, because we are I don't know what episode of yours this is, but of ours it's 557, so we have done a few, and they do change with time. And if you want to have a different flavor, go back and check them out. But I mean, you're still going to get the same idea. We look at Linux applications, we look at how you can do things without Windows if you want to. We do try and slip that stuff in too, mm-hmm. because, like, for example, Cheryl, who's on my right, I don't know how she's arranged for the rest of you, but she's recording on Windows. I'm recording on macOS. Bill might be using Linux. I don't know.
No, I'm portable, so I'm using my Mac laptop. So
okay, so yeah, so we're not. None of us are using Linux right now. So so
I needed lots of battery.
If you feel like you're not going to learn something or find something useful just because you think we talk about nothing but Linux and I don't want to go that route and I'm not going to be that guy and I can't make that leap and everything, you'll find that that's not the case. We try and push it where possible, but we understand that there are certainly reasons where you can't use it, wouldn't use it, don't necessarily have to use it. And in those cases, what we talk about is all of the applications that are out there that are open source and available across platforms and things like that. So there's always something for everybody. And that's what we try to be. Try to be science, technology, ham radio, Linux, and open source, you know, for every user, regardless of where you come from, where you want to get to, and like what paradigms you're part of. So that's what the show is.
Yeah, you guys hit the mark every time. I know, like, every week I listen to it. It is one of those places where, you know, you never know what we're going to be talking about. But when you get into it, you're like, wow, we just segmented into, you know, what the latest whiskey you are, you know, and your knowledge of whiskey is like way beyond my, you know, comprehension and understanding. I'm sure you're probably a little toe to toe with Paul. You know, he's got a lot more knowledge in that sense. But yeah, when you get into that, you know, I just go, wow. Oh, I'm in the presence of, you know, fill the blank, but yeah.
I don't feel like I have any particular special expertise in it. It's just something I really enjoy. And you know how it is with things you enjoy. You sort of just gain knowledge, you know, by osmosis just because you're doing it all the time. And I would like to point out that when we finally developed the Weekender version of the show, we specifically split that out because we knew the content may not be of interest to everyone. So right. If that's not your thing, if you don't want to hear about the hedonism and the food and the music and the booze and all that kind of stuff, they're clearly labeled. You can go and skip them. However, the first part of the show, we always actually do topical content. We do Linux, we do computers,
But what they are is like random off the cuff topics. We literally go to the website pickerwheel.com, throw in 20 topics, hit the randomizer button, and whatever comes up, we talk about whether we know anything about it or not. So it's always fun. We try to make it entertaining and at least a little bit informative one way or the other. So I wouldn't necessarily skip the first 15 or 20 minutes of those episodes. But you know, beyond that, go ahead and skip it and move on to the next thing. And we'll talk about some sort of computer or ham topic at the next one. But you know, we try to be a little bit of everything. And, you know, honestly, if you had the choice to talk about whiskey or ham radio, I think we all know which one we pick. Right. So,
well, it's funny, you know, that's a tough call now at this point for me, because like now that I've listened to what you've talked about, I was like, oh man, now I really have to, like, I'm looking at my whiskey selection. I'm like, man, it's like, you know, it used to be like the college days of Bud Light and Bud. I mean, you're like, hey man, I'm a beer drinker. I'm like, no, I keep telling my son who's 22, you're not a beer drinker. You have to really understand craft beers and all of that. Like, so, you know, he's getting into that whole process and it's a whole new eye-opening experience for him. So I get it. Totally.
Yeah. And we even have our experts in our field. Like I'm the like hard liquor guy. Bill is the beer guy, beer and wine. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's like sort of his thing. And Cheryl does the food. So we got all our bases covered. Dude, so
yeah, totally. I mean, we have to have a meetup now just for the fact that you guys can deal with all of that. We'll just bring the entertainment.
Absolutely. Usually when we go to Hamvention, Russ and Bill show up with like milk crates of craft beers and whiskeys. And yeah, I go tootling in with like my bottle of rum or whatever. I'm happy.
So let me give a 30-second thing shout out to this past one, and I don't want to take up a whole lot of time with this, but one of our listeners, Darren VK60K, he managed to I don't want to make this sound like it's surreptitious or anything. It's not like, you know, not like it's a big deal. But he had one of the guys who reps for Flex in Australia bring me at Hamvention this past year an Australian whiskey, which can't even get in this country. So that was like super nice of him. I've thanked him 1,000 times before, but it was such an incredible, thoughtful thing to do. And the fact that I have
a totally different kind of flex.
Yeah. That was quite the flex, actually. Yeah. But that was fantastic. And I want to make sure he gets acknowledgement again. So.
Cool. All right. Well, so we know Russ has obviously been with the show since episode 1 or 2. But you know, so he doesn't take all of the limelight here. Let's kind of shift over to Cheryl. I mean, obviously Cheryl, you know, tell us a little bit about you. I mean, I love your call sign. I mean, it's second. I have to say it's second to obviously Bill's, because Bill just takes the cake. I love that call sign altogether, but you know, tell me what's up with the call sign, how you got into ham radio a little bit. And you know, where along the line did you get coerced or pushed into, or, you know, just decided, hey, I'm going to wave the white flag and be part of the Linux crew here. So
the call sign is a vanity call. I grew up on a farm, and I don't know if you can see the cabinet behind me, but it's covered in the top of it. It's covered in Holstein cows. So that's where the W5MOO came in. As for the reason behind getting the call sign, I threw up the white flag because Russ has harassed me from the day we met, basically, which has been 25 years ago, to get my call sign. Then Bill tanked up with him. And so they were both harassing me to get it. And finally, a couple of years before COVID hit, I had tried to test the Hamvention itself. And because it was still at Hera Arena at that time, and they were testing upstairs, and I was in a head-on car wreck several years ago, so I'm dependent upon a wheelchair now. So I was like, that's not going to work. And they're like, well, we don't know what to tell you. So we mentioned that on one of our podcasts, one of the earlier podcasts, and a group of gentlemen, V's, out of New Jersey, I believe, said, hey, we're coming to Hamvention. We'll test you while we're there. Like, okay,
awesome.
So okay. Yeah, that was a trip. You know, the 9-ish hours of driving from our house to Dayton was cramming for the test, basically. and then the next year they're like, do you want to go and do your general? And I was like, no, no, I'm I need a break. And they're like, okay. So the next year we worked it out a long time before invention that, by the way, you're going to test while, because we're coming back to test you again. I was like, okay. So we tested. It just happened that their hotel was across the street from ours. So we like jogged across the street. Russ and Bill sat there and, you know, smoked a cigar or whatever while I was testing. And then the VEs were on my butt about going ahead and working on getting my extra that night. They're like, we'll give you an hour to study. I'm like, no, I can't do this again. So, and of course, Russ and Bill at that point were like, yeah, you don't really need the extra. If you want to do something extra, Russ is an extra. He can sit there and babysit you. We're like, okay, great, fine, whatever. So that's the story on that. As for the length of time that I've been with the podcast, I've basically been here since day one, but I was always behind the scenes. Okay. I was
You're the reason why it's so popular, because you were their social media and media.
Well, not even that. Russ is social media, but I was kind of what we called the rabbit herder or the cat herder, because Richard would get sidetracked and I would be like, no, topic. So that's how that it worked out. And finally, at one point, Russ went, you know, you're just coming on to the podcast. We're done. So I did several years pre-licensed, just doing my recipes and sharing stories or whatever, you know, reading stories basically. And then, you know, after I was licensed, it just stayed the same, basically. But, yeah, so, and that's how it's been. So now I go to Hamvention to babysit the booth, basically, so Press and Bill can go out and get a little bit of exercise. And, you know, other than that, that's my job. So, yeah, whatever. I see Russ making little signs over there in his window, but...
Carol doesn't sign it without us.
Todd no longer needs to feel bad, because Carol's tagline can be always a general. So
yeah, always a general. Yeah. And yeah, not just still, just always. I could possibly pass the test if I really tried, but I'm beyond even attempting that at this point. So
very cool. Well, we love to hear. I personally love to hear, you know, obviously being in a ham radio, you know, kind of centric, it's very male dominated. Sadly, there's not a lot. There is more females coming on and whatnot getting interest, but it's always good to hear a refreshing female voice on a podcast that's talking about, you know, Linux and all of their stuff. So it's good to have you on, and I appreciate you.
you know that. Oh, go ahead, Cheryl.
No, oh, no. There's actually a ham radio group on Facebook that I'm part of for women. And a lot of them actually comment on the fact that they are treated very badly by most men in their local clubs. And we do have people come to our booth at Hamvention that will say, sorry, our dogs are barking in the background. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to a guy that knows what they're doing.
Wow.
That's essentially what they say. And I'm like, well, Russ or Bill will be back later. I don't know when to tell you, but come back. And there's been a couple of times when they've actually come up and asked a question. You know, I've told Russ or Bill, you know, this gentleman came up, they wanted information, blah, blah. Why didn't you tell them? Because I have that information, you know, in my head. I'm like, they didn't want to listen to me. So when the person would come back, I'd be like, that's the guy. And they'd be like, oh, sorry, you'll have to talk to Russ or talk to Cheryl for that information. And I'm just like, okay.
She'll explain it to you in your small little pea brain way of understanding what you need to know.
Right, exactly. So
we had an episode on this that people want to listen to it. It's we got in trouble for it. We got hate mail about it. It was our Weekender episode number 108, where we talk about the population of the ham radio community, and our comments attracted some ire. I don't remember the exact episode number, but it's Weekender number 108. So if anyone wants to hear an interesting and maybe partially controversial take on women in ham radio and the politics of ham radio and the makeup of the ham radio community. You might check that
episode out. 518.
Wow, that's so recent. Okay.
So, Cheryl, Eric sometimes cheats with ham radio with his daughter and puts a recording on his radio of her calling out CQ. So he gets all the, and then they get him and they're like, attention. Hey, where's the Y? Yeah, where's all the, where's the YL?
Where's the YL?
All right. Well, let's put a little context to this, Todd. My daughter has her ham radio license. So she had, before she got her ticket, she surprised me with her ticket first and foremost. But the second part of it was she would come out and do POTA with me, and I'd be like, every time we had field day, she would come and she would get in front of the microphone and you'd be like, everybody in the every guy be like, yeah, no problem, she'll be, you know, racking in like the contacts, there'll be pileups everywhere left and right. She'd get on the mic and it would be cricket, and this is in the middle of field day out of all places. Like, they would hear her voice. Oh, wow. And nobody would answer. And she was like looking at me like, Dad, what's wrong? Like, I don't understand, you're telling me this one thing and it's the opposite. And then, you know, she would go out and do POTAs with me, and, you know, she would record her voice, and then magically, you know, all of a sudden, you know, people would start showing up. So when the bands were tough, I would leave the recording on my, you know, 891. No. And, you know, it would track, it'd get me that 10 I needed. So, you know, it's only for emergency purposes during break glass. So,
well, I'll tell you this. I was on field day a couple of years ago, and I probably 25, 30 minutes trying to get into this one station. I couldn't do it. I tried. And she came into the tent where I was at. She goes, oh, let me give it a shot. Yeah. One time she calls out, they call him. I mean, instantly. She goes, can I just hang out here and do something? I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Literally a half an hour, I couldn't get through. She does one time. Nice. We got in. I'm like, so it's pretty funny, but she's awesome. She comes and she'll play radio and bring her friend, and we try to get her to get her general and move on, but she'll get around to it at some point. Did she get her general? Did she get her general? No, not yet.
No. She's 22. She's radio is, you know, way over here. Dad's a little old right now, but she'll come around.
I just like to give Eric a hard time because we were doing POTA once together, and all of a sudden, like, her voice came on, and we were getting everyone. I'm like, oh, that's your secret. I see how you get so many contacts.
So, all right. Well, Paul, you got any questions before I segue into something?
No, I'm a hardcore Windows guy. So,
well, we all sort of are. We kind of have to. Well, we'll all admit that later in confession. So Cheryl, I want to personally, because we're actually doing an episode probably coming soon in November. So if you want to come on, we're going to have a whole bunch of other YLs on, and it's going to be just the YL show. And we want to give you guys every opportunity. We're going to have a couple of YLs that we have in our club who just got their tickets, and they're like totally like, we love them when they come to hang out, because they'll come during winter field days or when they have time off, and they just love being part of that whole process. So they're coming on. So if you want to come on, I'll send you an invite, and, you know, we'll arrange that to have you be part of all that.
Sure. Sounds good.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. So, all right. Well, so with that, we've got to go over to Bill, who's been really quiet over here in the corner, but, you know, not to say that he isn't on the show, but, you know,
yeah, he's the nerd.
Dude, that is a call sign that I love. You know, I would love to get as a vanity call sign if I ever could convince myself I need to switch to another call sign, but that ain't gonna happen. So tell us a little bit about your story. I know you moved around a little bit. You know, you're definitely obviously in the computer field. How did you hook up with these two and you know, the podcast?
Yeah, pretty randomly. I mean, I was I've been on the podcast for half of the podcast's life since May of 2016. Oh, wow. I came on, I was a listener kind of lurking in the IRC chat room. And I think, what was it? Pete just left, and Russ and Cheryl were like, yeah, we got to look for another co-host. And I'm like, sure. Why not?
Hey, over here, please.
So that was, my first episode was 168. And obviously we've done quite a few of them since then.
How many are we up to?
We're only, this will put us at 54. So they have about 506 more than we
54.
Do.
54. Wow. Only 54.
But just think about that. We did 167 in 8 years, and then in the next 8 years, we did between 168 and 557. So we've been obviously putting out a lot of content in these 8 years together. We've kind of jumped up in the amount of weeks that we put in. We tried to do a show every week, so it's we've tried to keep up with it. We're not good at it, but we try to keep up with it. And yeah, I have a four call. I mean, I live in Montana, but I started having a four call back in, I got licensed in 94 and kind of been all over the East Coast. And then I moved up to Montana about almost 15 years ago now. So, but I'm keeping my call for life. So I'll die with this call.
You get attached to these things, man. I don't know what it is. I lost mine, like I said, and I had to have it back. I just couldn't, like, losing my arm.
He wasn't happy. He was definitely struggling.
Yeah, I didn't like my original call that much. I mean, I had it for, many years. I don't think I changed this call in, I want to say, like, 2009 or something like that, maybe. So I've had the call for, a bit, but,
So what made you go, obviously in computers and Linux, but what, when NE4RD jumped on the bandwagon, I assume you were just like, I got to have it, or was it something you just kind of...
Yeah, like the no-code extras came out, and I was like, I was a general for the longest time. I've been a general since 95, so I had my 13 word a minute, could never really get over the hump, and I just didn't have time to do it, and then finally said, oh yeah, you can get a, skip advanced and go straight to extra no code. So I was like, okay, well, I'm doing this, and then I'm going to change my call sign because I'm so sick of this anyway. And then as a joke, I'm like, oh, I'll just put in it for this call because it sounds cool. It's lightweight on CW. And I was like, I probably won't get it, whatever. I mean, nobody's applied for it. All the other any number RDs had already been taken at that point. For some reason, 4 wasn't taken. So
not many hams in Montana, apparently. But
well, no, I was living
Florida,
in Tampa.
Right? Yeah, Florida. Yeah, Tampa. Right.
Yeah, I was living in Tampa. I took my extra at the Tampa Amateur Radio Club. You know, hats off to them. What a great clubhouse. What a great club. And the rest is history. I've had the call ever since, and it's definitely a fun one. I've worked almost all of the other any number RD calls. at some various point in time in my ham radio career, so it's been quite a fun thing.
It's a great call to hunt for sure. It's sort of like looking for all the N4 UDEs and the N2 UDEs and all of the those types of vanity calls. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, definitely in good sorts there with folks with that type of call. So cool. All right, so you've been with the podcast pretty much 168, and so Russ has been day one, and Cheryl's just been pretty much day one too. So, like, how many hosts have you guys kind of gone through? Is it been a large crowd, like, or is it just kind of what's that looked like a little bit for you guys?
We've had one or two AMA episodes in our 557, and so the topic of our co-host history has come up before. Okay. And there haven't been many, honestly. We had Richard and I started it, and then Richard dropped off at episode 100. He did the first 100, and I started 101 on. I think I did two or three by myself. And then I feel like I'm going to forget this now. Now that we're talking about the
500 episodes, I'm sure you will. It's okay.
We have Pete and Rich, and then Bill.
Well, right, but they weren't simultaneous. We had
right.
We had. Oh, now I really think I've forgotten. Was it Rich first? It was.
Yeah, it was Pete last because Pete was right. Yeah,
Rich was only here first. Rich was only five or six episodes.
No, he did. He did like 30 something episodes, I think.
Oh, did it?
He and his son Brady had another podcast called the Low SWR Podcast. I don't know if anybody remembers that.
I don't. I never hear of it though. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So they did the Low SWR Podcast, and then Rich jumped on with me and Cheryl, because Cheryl was sort of in and out the whole time for 30 something episodes, I think. And then the next 30-something, we had two Canadian hams. Well, mostly Pete, VE2XPL. And then there was Harrison and, sorry, Harrison, VE2HKW, I think. We're on the show for a while. And then their circumstances changed, of course. And then Bill was, you know, Bill, who ran unopposed for the job, as I did at the start.
there were so many others.
It's pretty much how it's happened. You know, it's basically like, I need a co-host. Does anybody want to co-host? Me? Okay, you're in. You know, that's kind of how it goes.
Paul can share that same sentiment too. Yeah, Paul was like, hey, what are you doing on a Sunday night? You want to come do a podcast? Yeah, sure. No problem. And he just, he just won't go away. Whatever. No, just kidding. Sorry. Right,
exactly. So when Bill gets fed up, we'll put the call out again, and the first person to say yes will be on the show. So there you go.
Well, Bill doesn't get an option. He doesn't get to quit.
I know, right?
He tolerates us at Hamvention, all of us being in the same room. Bill stays forever now.
But the thing is, Bill it's not even 2 hours into Hamvention when he's out buying a black and tan and coming back to the booth so he can tolerate the rest of the show. So
well, you know, normally we only record for like an hour or so. So I'm like, you know, once it's more than an hour, I kind of get freaked out. So, you know, I need my
medication. So we're nearing that. Well, are you going to expire in the next 10 minutes or so? I just want to make sure that you combust or something.
No, I am running on empty though. So like, let's kind of wrap this going here.
Well, you know, that was prerequisite number one that I sent out to Russ earlier on. Just make sure you have several refills along the way.
I brought the whole bottle. Bar, I mean, I'm not stupid.
See, Russ is a professional. Come on. Yeah, I thought you were a craft drinker beer.
Just have beer. I didn't know right quitting was an option.
Yeah, no, right.
Not a quitter.
All right. Cookies are for closers. All right. Cool. So you guys obviously mentioned Hamvention a little bit, and I kind of want to dive into a lot of it. Do you guys go every year?
We missed one year.
We missed two years of the last 14. Woo! So we have done quite a few. Yeah.
Okay. Well, any advice you'd want to give to us three newbies? Because we're all diehards and we want to go, but like, you know, New England, you have to go south or west, so it's a little challenging, but yeah.
And a little south from Montana.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, how long would it take us to drive there? Probably what, 16 hours?
20 hours? 9 hours. So you would take you about 12. Probably would take you more than 10 to 12, something like that.
Yeah, that's not that bad. I drove down to North Carolina. I just said I drove to North Carolina this summer and it wasn't that bad. It was like 16 hours.
Yeah.
Russ drives from our house to Hampton, New Hampshire several times a year. That's about 20 hours. And Hamvention's not quite halfway, but not pretty close. Halfway. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, do you guys stay?
We stay usually at the same hotel in Miamisburg. Which is not, I mean, someone's going to correct me. That's not Miamisburg, but yeah, it's South Dayton.
It's listed as Dayton. So, yeah.
Right. But you asked, like to give you advice about going to Hamvention. There's only one thing I can say about it is if you're a ham, just go.
Yeah.
Just do it. Whatever you think you're going to see, whatever you think about the show, whether, you know, whatever like preconceived notions you have about the show, it's just, you got to do it. Just do it once. I guarantee you, you're going to figure out in that one time whether you want to do it again or not. But I mean, you got to do it. You got to do it.
Rain slippers are optional, but suggested, because it will rain at least once during the weekend. And then the humidity will go up to 190%. So on an 80 degree day.
Great.
So, yeah, you got to do it. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you guys are in New Hampshire, but people come. I mean, because we have a booth there, of course, for the show. I mean, we meet everybody who comes through. Basically, we get a lot of foot traffic and everything, and the people who come through from, you know, Paraguay and Israel and the Philippines and Finland and everywhere
else, Japan and Germany,
cool to meet all these people. I mean, it's absolutely. like, you know, Nearfest is Nearfest, and you know, the one that goes on there in Massachusetts, like a couple weeks before, and all of that. It's like, oh, yeah, these are great hamfests and everything, but I mean, nothing is hamvention. You just got to do it.
Right. Now, you guys also do what's the one in Missouri? Is it Missouri? No. Where's the what's the other one I'm thinking of? That's way after Hamcation and Hamvention.
We've kicked around the idea of doing Hamcation and Huntsville and some of the other big ones.
Alabama.
Yeah. We were going to do Huntsville this year, and then I got really sick and we wound up not going. So we may wind up doing Hamcation next year because we have other reasons to be in Florida. And I mean, Orlando in February is, you know, generally a nice place to be. So we might actually do that. I mean, we've focused on Hamvention for our like booths and setups and stuff like that. And I've done some local ones here in Missouri. But I would like to do some other ones. And I think Huntsville and Hamcation will be the ones that we, you know, wind up going to.
Well, we got to have you up to Ham X next year then at this point. Yeah, we got to make sure to get you on the roster there because we're trying to increase the YouTube presence and, you know, kind of getting more of that, you know, action involved in there. And they're a little bit receptive to that. So we'd love to have you kind of come up. We actually did our first year, we did this podcast, our first two or three episodes. We did a live stream right from it. Horrible, you know, video conditions, but you know, we did a live stream and had a blast doing it, and it you know, was very we'll say fulfilling, because a lot of people came by and like, we don't know who you are, but you need to be around, and you know, we don't have this stuff up here in New England, nobody talked about ham radio, and so it really kind of just took off.
I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a Linux ham radio distribution called Andy's Ham Radio Linux. It's
we interviewed Andy.
KB1OIQ.
Yeah, he was one of my mentors. He was one of my mentors, actually, growing up as a kid. He was part of a ham radio club that I grew up with and Boy Scouts. And, you know, so I knew him way very early on and when he was tinkering and stuff like that. He's a great guy. Love him. He's got a lot of good stories, no matter what. You get him on a tangent, he'll just go forever.
Well, I will say that if you want us up at Ham Expo or whatever the one is there in Massachusetts, we have a place to be, you know, cause I'm from up there. So I know all the ins and outs and everything, but, gas money goes a long way to getting me to move, you know, up in that direction.
We could probably make that happen for sure. I'm sure we can put a little, you know, pool there or do a couple of shirt raising events and get you the gas money both ways. No problem. I'd love to have you there. It'd be awesome.
We're also funding Paul's jumping career, so.
Well, that's it.
See, if he was here.
We have GoFundMe pages all over the place, you know.
See, if you guys were here, local skydiving school is a half mile from our house. So we get to sit on the porch and watch people jump out of perfectly good airplanes.
What do you think of Missouri, Paul?
Well, you know, I guess it's one of those states that I don't think I've quite checked off the list, so I should go at least once.
Well, you drive through there when you go to Florida. Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, you sort of do. I mean, you can. You can detour.
Way out in that.
That'd be a hell of a detour.
If you haven't gone to a Buc-ee's, you're going to want to go through at least three or four of them, so you're going to have to go through Missouri somewhere along the line.
Well, there's a Buc-ee's in Tennessee. It's in Sevierville, and I think they're building one in Georgia right now.
There's already one in Daytona Beach, so you can just go there. Yeah.
Yeah. And ours opened last Christmas, and it was an absolute madhouse for about the first month. So we go to Texas fairly often, so we had already done the Buc-ee's experience, but so we're like, whatever. So
yeah, Buc-ee's was great because it's like we would go to Texas every time we would drive to Dallas, we'd stop at Buc-ee's on the way or went to Austin or whatever. And then we heard, oh, they're building a Buc-ee's 30 minutes away. And we're like, oh, there's going to be a Buc-ee's. So we went there like within the first week and everything. Now we don't go to Buc-ee's anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're just like, whatever, it's Buc-ee's.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's kind of my experience too. I went there and it was like, my daughter was like, what is this Bucky's place you keep talking about? I'm like, dude, I've heard it from Ham Radio 2.0 and everybody, you know, talking to Texas, you know, oh yeah, I go to Bucky's, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fine, I'll go check it out, thinking it's like a Wawa or whatever, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, no.
You can't touch it with a stick, so.
Yeah. it's like a concession stand / convenience store / shopping mall, all wrapped up in
one. 100 fuel pumps. Yeah,
just short of a couple of carnival rides, right? Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's their newest thing. Ours just put in like a taco bar, so the carnival rides are probably going to be in the back parking lot by Christmas.
On the way. All right. Well, so kind of like, we obviously should talk a little Linux here in this process. So, you know, you have the floor. What would you love to share to our listening, you know, listenership, you know, about Linux and in general? Obviously, you touched on a little bit, you know, about how it's not so scary. And, you know, but what would be the compelling thing, for at least from a ham radio side of things, if I wanted to, you know, start getting into Linux, that I should be looking at?
I can summarize this in a minute or two, I think, from my perspective, and then I'll let my co-hosts have the floor. But I think when we were started doing the podcast in 2008, the Linux landscape was very different than it is now. It was much scarier, much more intimidating for the average user. And that's why the show sort of blossomed into what it is. Because it was actually kind of a fight to get people to switch the paradigm. Windows was everything there was. Even macOS wasn't really a player at the time. And to me, as far as using an operating system in the shack, macOS is still not really a player. No, very, very little development in the macOS front.
Apple's garbage.
However, what's that?
Apple's garbage, he said.
Yeah, still garbage, right. So it was more of an issue back then, and the fight was harder, the uphill climb was steeper. And as time has gone on, the two worlds have kind of shifted towards each other. Linux has tried to make itself a lot like Windows. Windows has tried to make itself a lot like Linux. They do a lot of kernel development. They've created the Windows subsystem for Linux, which actually runs Ubuntu and Debian and other variants and stuff like that. So the worlds are colliding, honestly. And so it's made our job a lot easier. It's made it much less intimidating. And if you, as a user, whether you use Linux or not, want to jump into it, the leap is very, very small at this point. Everything's going to look familiar to you. Your desktop environment's going to look the same. The only thing that's going to be different, basically, is how you install applications. And so that's really the only hurdle you have to get over. But that being said, you know, the biggest thing for me is, I'm willing to bet that if you're a Windows user right now, a lot of the applications you're using for ham radio were probably written for Linux. I mean, if you're, you know, if you're using WSJTX or JTDX or FLDigi or any of these things like that, you'll be like, well, I only run Windows and I've got these applications. Well, sorry, those were all written for Linux and then they run on Windows too. So like, you don't even have to make the leap in that point. You're already using the applications. You just have to switch your operating system. So you're talking about a matter of 30 minutes and, you know, a loss of a little inhibition. That's pretty much all there is to it.
Yeah. And you get even less ads in your desktop environment. Because
Ubuntu one, which is now trying to push them back in. So
that's true. Yeah. Ubuntu is in its own world with Canonical and stuff like that.
Yeah. But Ubuntu is the Windows of the Linux world.
But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see, you know, like Russ was talking about, the convergence between Windows and Linux and stuff like that. I mean, there's, you know, if you listen around to a lot of the Linux podcasts, I mean, there's definitely like the chatter, like Windows 12 is basically going to have a Linux kernel in it because Windows is dead. they're slowly killing themselves, much like macOS is doing with locking down the App Store and stuff like that, and going to start killing off third-party apps, which will mean all of these open source apps that don't have, you know, development license keys in the macOS ecosystem to register their apps and get them certificate signed and stuff like that. You're going to see that stuff starting to go away, and Microsoft's not that far behind. I mean, not many amateurs are using the Windows version S of the platform, but that platform is particularly locked to the store. It was meant for like students and stuff like that, but it did come on some boxes. so it's sort of a smaller subset of Windows in a different license format for a cheaper license that a lot of these little tiny computers and whatnot would come with. So yeah, I mean, you know, Linux is just easy to run. Today it's like, you know, almost better in some cases, even just using it for like daily driver use. I mean, the browsers run faster, everything launches faster. It's amazing. You can add a printer. You can add a printer that's probably 10, 20 years old, and it, guess what? There's still a driver for it.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. You try doing that in Windows or Mac OS, you're SOL. You're not going to be able to print to like an old Canon printer from the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s that's barely got, you know, USB support, let alone any driver support. I mean, I'm always amazed at what Linux is able to do. I mean, I remember like, you know, Ubuntu, to give them some props. I mean, like, you know, 8 years ago, Ubuntu would drop on a Wi-Fi network and all of a sudden find every printer on a Wi-Fi network that you connected to automatically without even asking you to do it. And I thought like that was like the pan ultimate of the operating system. It's like, this is going to solve so many problems for people. So it's grown so well in the years that it's like every year it's just easier to sell free software, you know, because it's like
you just can give it away without any problems, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's there's so much value for it, and you know, it's really hard to say that there's problems with it. And, you know, there's certain instances that you can get yourself into trouble. There's so many choices in Linux that I think people find themselves in a spot where it's like, oh, well, I tried this and it didn't work and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, that's the thing, is like, there's so many choices that you can find yourself sort of pigeonholed in some sort of ecosystem that's specific to your particular choice. Like, oh, I decided to have Solus, or I decided to have, you know, Arch, you know, Linux from scratch, or, you know, Nix OS or something like that. You know, I found this niche that I wanted to go with for one reason, and then I'm trying to make it solve all my other problems. And, you know, maybe they don't always find their solution. So we tend to talk about everywhere that you can find an easy path into using Linux. And we do a lot of reviews on distributions where we give a Linux, you know, ham radio readiness score. And, you know, we have probably covered, you know, I wouldn't say all of them because there's so many. But like, we do cover quite a few that most people should at least have in their, you know, bookmarks list of things that you might want to try and stuff like that.
Cool.
Now, yeah. Bill, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So I'm a computer idiot per se, right? back in like the mid to late 90s, I could do all kinds of great things with computers, but I didn't keep up with it because, you know, I was more a rifle and a rucksack kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So now here I am. I'm as Jim WT1W has so eloquently put, you know, Windows is that bloated old girlfriend that you just keep around because she's comfortable. And I like Windows for that fact. Like, I know it, I understand it. Like, I got OBS running and I got all this stuff running on this tiny little computer and it works.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Now I'm always fighting Windows with audio and different things, but for years I've had friends that have told me, you'd be so much happier going to Linux. You'd be so much happier. And I'm like, well, what does that transition look like for me? Right. I mean, I've got everything on this computer. Mm-hmm. And so how do I take everything that is functioning and move it to Linux and not have like 3 weeks where I can't do anything because I don't understand how it works?
Well, it depends on the applications, really. You know, if you have locked yourself into a certain app that kind of pigeonholes you into using Windows, let's say like, you know, Ham Radio Deluxe or something like that, or these, you know, the Flex guys next to you and stuff like that. You know, they're using PowerSDR that, you know, for some reason they can't build on Linux, even though the entire freaking radio runs Linux. mm-hmm. There's that instance where it's like you have something that it's just not going to work, you know, because you have something within your workflow that prevents you to do that. But like things like OBS, I mean, God, that's an open source piece of software that was written for cross-platform to begin with. So like, you know, stuff like that should just work. You can grab your .obs folder out of your home directory, and you know, it's kind of a strange thing. Why does it have a, you know, .dot file in Windows land? You know, because it wasn't developed for Windows. But there's a lot of those applications that, you know, pretty much all you do is you move your configuration file, repoint where you have your images for your backdrops and everything else like that. That's pretty easy. And then it's like, you know, the logging software. Yeah, there are some differences. Like we talked about, HRD is Windows only. There's several Windows only softwares that are just not available in Linux. Yeah, you can probably run them in Linux with the emulators, or what's, you know, Windows is not an emulator, the Wine emulator or the Proton emulator and stuff like that. But you know, there are other options out there, and that's sort of the kind of things that we talk about on the podcast. Is like, you know, we're always talking about loggers. What can we use alternative to what we're currently using? And you know, it's always amazing what else we can find that will actually run and solve problems like, how do we do contest logging? How do I do this kind of logging? How do I do POTA logging? How do I do satellite logging?
So where does N3FJP rate in your rankings of loggers?
Well, I've never used it even in the Windows land. I'm not a personal fan of it myself, you know, but that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the software. I think it will run under Proton, probably with some handling or whatever, to get the COM ports and stuff like that to connect. But like, I don't really like emulation. So I try to run loggers that are more native, more closer for contesting. I'm using Not1MM right now. It's kind of like an N1MM, not necessarily. It kind of looks like N1MM. But I'm an old like CT guy from the old contest days when we had like DOS computers out there in the field. So I always appreciate that when N1MM came out, they like kept the same key bindings, so I wouldn't have to rebind everything that I have like ingrained in my contest head of what I'm supposed to be doing. So I really used N1MM for a long time in Windows, and then I played around with it in the Linux emulation days. And then, yeah, now that there's Not1MM, there's no reason for me to even use Windows or an emulator for that kind of logging and that purpose. So, yeah.
So basically, sounds like, Paul, you have to listen to the podcast to get your full answer out of that, which is a great segue.
Yeah, there's a lot of episodes to go through, though.
Any suggestions?
Oh, I would. Yes, I do have a suggestion, and that suggestion is the search button is fantastic. If you want to find an episode on logging, just put logging in the search bar, and it will give you the episode that you need to look at. Because yeah, I wouldn't ask anyone to go through 556 episodes to try and find some specific content that they're looking for. But if you're looking for a specific application, a type, like if you want to use FT8, if you want to do digital work, if you want to do PSK31, if you want to learn CW, if you want to install your desktop environment, if you want to change the colors on your screen, stuff like that, you can literally put that in the search bar. And it will give you relevant episodes to check out for sure. The show notes, like, we don't like publish a transcript of the show or anything like that, but they do have links to relevant projects, configuration examples, things like that, whenever necessary. So I would just say, like, I mean, you could type in, how do I install Linux? And, you know, you'll get, we've done two or three separate episodes where we walk you from step one through step N of how to get Linux on your machine with destroying Windows, which is the way we prefer it, but also without, if you know, if that's the way you want to go. But yeah. And one of the things we highlight at Hamvention all the time is now you can run Linux off a USB stick. You just plug it into your computer, boot it up, see what you like about it, what you don't like about it. And it doesn't touch your hard drive at all. And you can even run a ham shack off your thumb drive if you want to. I mean, or if nothing else, go to Micro Center and buy a $50, you know, Raspberry Pi 5, and yep. just run your shack off of that.
Yeah, you don't even have to do that. You can just use a cheap laptop that's probably got lying around that barely can run Windows these days and do it that way too.
Yeah, absolutely. They also have these new PCs on a stick. It's like a USB stick. You plug into your computer and you have another computer. You can just run it off of that, something like that. So, I mean, there's a thousand ways you can do it. And then when you, you know, when you get that like going of ennui and uncomfortableness and all of a sudden you can just kind of like pull the stick out. You're back in Windows land. Everything, the world is right again. You're all set to go. So
there you go, Paul. You get the stick and play around with it. If you don't like it, you pull it out. You still got your old stuff.
I'll still be cuddling with fat old Windows.
Yes, you will.
So, Bill, you had said like Microsoft and Apple are going to basically kill themselves because they're locking up their stores and they're not going to let other people in. Why do you think they're doing that? Because
because when you have a captured market, you have a captured revenue stream,
right?
And then you also prevent having to support other things. You know, you don't have to worry about like, oh, Joe Blow put N1MM on his laptop and now it doesn't work. And you know, they called Microsoft for support, or you know, they did the same thing. Like, I installed Rumlog on my Mac OS box, and I can no longer connect to my radio, and Rumlog's not answering me questions, so I have to go and contact Apple.
Right. So I know less about computers than Paul does, but I fly model aircraft and I bought a open source radio because the company that does all the radios has just gotten out of control. Like, they literally are selling radios for $2,000 where I bought a radio that can do more for $300. And I brought my son one that was like $100, and the receivers are like $15 versus they're selling them for $60. And, you know, my son just got into it. So I'm like, this is going to cost me a small fortune if I go, you know, the what everyone else is doing. I can do it a lot sooner. So I'm learning how to program this radio, and it's all open source. And so I don't think it's as easy. It's not as like Apple-like. Like, the radios they have now is like, you could be stupid. I mean, they sell batteries that charge that you just plug in. Well, like, the old way of doing it, you had to like program the charger to charge whatever battery you have. So I don't think it's going to be that hard, but I'm wondering if like with Linux and this open source stuff, if that's the way it's going to be, because things are just going to get so out of control with pricing. Like, it's 3-4 times as much for the same thing. It's not even as good. So I'm thinking about
the curation model too. I mean, they're doing it so they can curate the content. You know, you look at all this consolidation and stuff like that across other markets and stuff like that, and they're doing exactly the same thing. And it was just a matter of time before they started closing the doors on stuff. You know, they've already made it like a pain in the butt of Mac to run software you download anyway. I mean, you have to, the very first time, you have to like right click and open, and then, or do a shift open, or, you know, because it's like they don't want you to install crap that is not from the store. And Windows is the same thing. You know, they get the scary red button. Oh, do you want to run this anyway, even though you're stupid and shouldn't download something from the internet? Those are things you generally don't see in Linux at all.
And I don't want to highlight the elephant that's sitting in the corner right now, but Mac OS is BSD, which is a flavor of Unix. Just like Linux.
Pretty much.
I think it's still Unix certified, so it's still a Unix compliant system.
That's true.
It'll probably go through a phase where they'll have all the thing, and then eventually people figure it out that it's not worth doing, and they'll start switching, and then they'll have to change their business model to to reopen it. Because I think the open source stuff makes a lot more sense. I think you get a better product out of it.
Yeah. Well, they only want the customers that want to buy Final Cut Pro and Adobe Premiere Pro and all this other stuff. They don't want people like us anyway.
Sure. You can go with Android if you like unintuitive, frustrating, illogical user interfaces. That's fine.
That's what I say to the Apple fanboys. But anyway. All good.
But there's a Linux distribution out there that I can't remember the name of that my head. Bill might be able to. But if you're a Mac OS fanboy, it emulates Mac OS, but it runs Linux.
That's sort like of, elementary yes, that's OS sort of looks like.
OS iOS 9.
Pantheon.
Okay, so it's definitely doable. So if you're looking to dip that toe in the water, there's many options. And I'd have to say that, you know, these guys are going to be your best resource, especially in trying to find that, like, match one for one for loggers and connectivity to be able to do cat control and all of those other things you're going to do in the ham radio world. So it sounds like, you know, if you haven't already subscribed, you need to head over to their channel, over to their website, subscribe, start listening, catching on, and, you know, start learning, because I guarantee you might be very surprised by the whole process of how easy it is. You know, I've been in Linux for a long time, in and out of my job. I've got a lot of Linux servers in the back doing, you know, different things like everything under the sun, pie hole, the known and yards, all that stuff, doing, you know, all of the things in the back, because my background's all Linux and networking. So, you know, I love to see all that stuff. I always loved to be in part of it. Always felt like it was the cool crowd to be in when it wasn't cool. And, you know, and in the whole academic world when that was very popular in those days. And so, you know, it's good to see that it's more now mainstream. And, you know, so when I hear you guys talk about new flavors, I'm just like, oh, cool. I got to think about adding that to the list. And then, you know, my list just gets longer and longer and longer. Get nowhere in terms of updating my OSs.
One of my favorite things about Linux these days right now is that back in the day, back in the 2008, 2010, 2012 timeframe, Arch Linux used to be the fanboy Linux. It used to be fringe. It was the outer bounds. It was the edge. It was like the restaurant at the end of the universe. Thank you, Douglas Adams, for that. And now it's easier to use than the mainstream distros. It does everything right off the bat. It's all UI based. I mean, and some of the ones like Manjaro and Garuda that have rolled like these customizations on top of Arch have made it so easy to use. It makes Windows look like it's complicated garbage, which it kind of is. But anyway, you know, it's that perception. It's just, I mean, there's so many ways to go with it. I mean, everybody should try it. And it's so easy to do these days. Plug in your USB stick, downloads. It's all free. It's open source and everything. Everyone should be doing it. So.
Well, cool. So we've got a little thing here I kind of put together the guys don't know about, but we're going to do a little speed round here because I want to quiz you guys and see what, you know, this is kind of like a, you know, see how well you know yourself on your toes. So we're going to ask you three questions each, and, you know, we're going to kind of go through here. You got to answer them right off the cuff. So, you know, if you guys are ready for that, let me know.
Let's go.
Shall we? Who wants to step up to the plate first? All right. Sounds like Cheryl's ready to go. Okay. All right. Okay. So first question is, what's your favorite dessert?
Cheesecake.
Okay. Nice. Favorite mode? Ham radio.
I skip that. I don't use it enough to actually say that. So.
Okay. And what was your first radio?
Yaesu, handy talkie. Okay.
What model? I don't know that model. Do you?
It's on my desk. An FT3D.
Oh wow! Jeez, nice job. You went, you know, you didn't go the Baofeng route. Well, we applaud you. Nice job.
Well, no, there's one of those on the desk too, but that one gets used like when we go to amusement parks or to hamvention. So that way, if I drop it, it's not a big loss.
Yeah, you can hammer nails with those things without a problem. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
And apparently set them on fire because that's been done.
Not by me.
No, not by you. No.
Give me a couple of years. That might happen. So.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. So, all right. The tables have turned. Okay. Obviously, Russ, favorite spirit?
That would be Old Forester 1920.
Okay.
Oh, good one.
Good one. All right. Favorite.
I know.
We're going to go with the ham route. The ham route. Favorite mode.
Oh, favorite? I mean, how about the one I use most, which is FT8? So,
okay. Wow, I would not expect that. Okay, all right. And obviously, what favorite first radio, or your first radio, I should say, when you got ticked?
Like first radio, like of all time.
first HT or first radio you got in your hands once you get a ticket.
Kenwood TS520S.
Wow. Okay. Nice radio. I remember sitting in front of those when I was younger. Okay. All right. Okay, Bill, you're the craft guy. Off the top of your head, favorite craft beer?
That pisses off a lot of people when I do that.
That's okay, dude. You know, all beers are good beers, no matter what.
Yeah,
ruffling feathers is okay here.
Yeah, we do it a lot.
I think right now I'm leaning into a lot of Great Notion varieties. They have so many tart ales that I'm really digging a lot. They have a nice double raspberry strawberry thingy merbobber that is really good, but they also make it extremely good IPAs too. So I'll stick with just like, I'll say Great Notion is probably my favorite brewery right now. They're out of Oregon.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll have to give them a shot. I've never tried them before. So good recommendation. All right. Well, so obviously next question, favorite mode.
Riddy.
Wow. Wow. No one said PSK31 yet, but Riddy's close. Not bad. Okay. You a Riddy contester too, or just Riddy,
Yeah, I used to be on Riddy a lot. I haven't gotten back into it since, since the centennial of W1AW, where I was running Riddy for W1AW Portable 7. But that just kind of reinvigorated my love for Riddy so much, being kind of like the end of the spigot for all of the people trying to contact you and stuff like that, kind of like the business end of a pileup. So it's fun.
Very cool. So nobody likes to, you know, saying bar AC and just putting it on ping mode then, right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves the ping mode.
Yeah. Different days.
Very true. Okay. And obviously your very first ham radio, once you got the ticket.
Heathkit SB104A.
Wow. Okay. You got it. Nice. All right, and did you build that or was it just handed to you?
No, we got it secondhand. My friend, my Elmer and I were the unfortunate collectors of a lot of SK gear for the club. And so I was able to kind of get my hands on a piece of old hardware that I loved the look of the radio. It was just beautiful. There was something about those glowing red numbers. I really wanted the SB230, which is the amplifier for it with the beryllium oxide. It's just like deadly. I so wanted the whole kit when I got that radio, and I used it a lot. I mean, I still love that radio. I think I finally gave it to somebody else. I think I gave it to another club member to use, and I haven't seen that radio in many years.
Hopefully you come, it crosses your path one more time in life.
I do look at them often. Anytime one comes up with a full set, I'm like, oh, I should do it.
Right. It always happens. But, all of us.
Be a terrible radio to own, though.
True, but you know, it doesn't have to operate. It can sit over in the corner and look pretty. You know how it performs.
Turn it on and glow red with a beautiful green spray paint.
Everybody needs a heater in their office.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, so you know, we can kind of wrap up here because we're getting a little late here on the East Coasters folks here. But love having you guys on. Thanks again for finding some time to get us on here, and we appreciate you streaming out to your Discord there for this, folks. Hope we wouldn't bore everybody to death and they haven't fallen asleep or fallen off. So to kind of put a bow on this, who wants to kind of close things off here? I mean, obviously, we usually just give it rounds. If you guys got any other YouTube channels or other stuff you do, feel free to promote that. Otherwise, Russ can take the show and close us all off.
I will say my little piece, and then if Cheryl and Bill want to close out, that'd be great. I will mention our website, lhspodcast.info. I guess I could do the phonetics, but I think that's pretty straightforward. So that literally has links to everything we're connected to one way or another. We're on Mastodon and that thing that used to be called Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and all of that. So, I mean, you just literally, if you go into Google and search for Linux in the Ham Shack, you will definitely find us. We've been around long enough and we didn't even have to program our own SEO. It just kind of happens, over time. So,
500 episodes
worth. So, that lhspodcast.info, that's the email address too. It's all linked there. Links to the episodes are there, of course, all the show notes. We do sometimes do contests and give stuff away. you can support the show. We're over on Patreon and PayPal as well too. It's like really cheap, and it's helped. We have actually become, like, in the early days, we would have to ask our listeners to support us to, like, go to Ham Mention and stuff like that, because it's, you know, it's not cheap. It's not an event. But we've had enough support over the last couple of years that our contributors are actually made us sort of self-sustaining. So it's really nice. Not getting rich or anything. We're not buying yachts and mansions and stuff like that. And visiting Europe every autumn. We can at least go to Ham Mention every year. So that's always nice. And we really appreciate everybody who listens to us. I know Eric does. I don't want to speak for Paul and Todd at this point, but I'm hoping that after this, that we have a couple new subscribers. So, but anyway, that's where you can find us. We hope you'll listen. We do have a Discord, of course, just like the guys here at Live Free and Ham. So check that out. You know, there's an invite that's on the website and everything else. So that's where you want to go. And we hope you'll join us and listen and maybe learn a little bit. And please interact, join the Discord, talk to us. There's always somebody around. We have lots of fun, interesting, and knowledgeable people, way more so than the three of us. So definitely join that. And you might learn a little bit there, too. We'd appreciate it. And thank you guys for having us on.
Well, thanks for coming.
Cool.
It's been fun. All right.
Yeah, definitely was a blast. So we appreciate you guys being on here. And, you know, don't be strangers. You know, we do our live shows once a month. So, you know, if you're ever around or in the chat and you just want to say hello, we'd love to have you come hang out with us. So, you know, the invitation's always open. Our door's always open. Don't be a stranger there for sure. And so, obviously, with that, we don't have the big budgets and whatnot, but we appreciate everybody who does support Live Free and Ham, both through our storefront at livefreeandham.com/shop. You can get all of our merch there, plus for a limited time, When Will Paul Jump Someday t-shirt and sweatshirt there. Make sure you grab one. You definitely don't want to miss out on that, because he will eventually jump. And then at that point, they're gone. You know, we'll have to replace it with something different. You know, it will probably have to be in supporting Paul's parachute purchase and all of the additional jumps and the pilot and eventually the plane, which, you know, will help us get to places like Hamvention and Hamcation much faster. So, you know, it's kind of like a logical progression, as they say. So all good either way. And if you want, you can head over to either the Apple Podcasts, or you can click the link, our SMS link, in all of our show note descriptions to leave us a review, good, bad, and ugly, and we will make sure we read it on our next episode. And you can always go over to our Patreon and buy us a beer links, conveniently located at all of our show notes and on our website at Live Free and Ham. And if you want to reach any of our hosts, you can head over to livefreeandham.com. And thanks, as always, for listening. And from all of us at Live Free and Ham and the Lennox and the Ham Shack podcast, 7-3.
7-3.
7-3.